Welcome to the O Woman podcast, where we discuss, so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 77 of the O Woman podcast. And today we are beginning the finale of our discussion on your sexual history. So if you've been listening to the past episodes, the past five or six episodes had to do with your sexual history. Looking back at your past, thinking about how your experiences and your feelings about yourself sexually, have shaped who you are and also shape who you will be. And so today is part one of our grand finale. It's fighting for your best sexual self, which, considering that we've talked about some of the experiences you can have had in your life, there's a lot of positives and there's a lot of negatives. And as women experience negative sexuality on a regular basis, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. And so being able to frame it the right way, being able to think about it, being able to realize how it affects us is really important, but also the positive experiences too. And that's something that as you move forward, it's something really valuable to focus on, some of the positive things, and of reframing your idea about your sexuality from a positive place. So today's focus, the fighting for your best sexual self, the greatest weapon for today's episode is knowledge. And there's a lot of different things here. So today I'm going to talk all about things that you know, things that is already part of your knowledge base, so that you can always think back on these things and realize, wait a minute, I already know this. I can move forward from here. I'm not going to be doubtful of this because I already know this. I'm already aware of this. The biggest thing to start with is knowing your past, and the past episodes that have been about your sexual history are about knowing about your past. I mean, of course we know our past. We've experienced them, but it's very different to have experienced your past than to be able to critically look at it and reflect on the way it has changed you as a person and the way it's changed people around you, perhaps your sexual partners, or your family. So knowing your past is such a really, it's just a really huge thing to start with. And like I said before, you have to look both at the positive and at the negative things to really get a full picture of how your past shapes you. Now, like I've talked about in past episodes, knowing your past can really actually be very difficult. Like I said, you've experienced it, you understand what happens, whether it's positive or negative experiences, but actually knowing your past has a lot to do with having processed things that have happened to you or that you've participated in or whatever and recognize their significance. So the knowledge factor in this case comes from knowing what you needed to know from that experience. Because when you think about it, everybody says this is a thing. It's a saying that everyone goes around saying, and it's because it's true, is all experiences you have ever had in your life, whether they're horrible or wonderful, are a lesson. And maybe they're meant to be a lesson. Maybe in your ideology you think that, or your theology you think that, or maybe it just became a lesson because that's what you needed to do with that bit of information in order to cope. If you feel like you're stuck and you don't know how to actually go back and get to know your past, for me, one of the best ways that I process information is to write it out. And it's really hard to write out difficult things sometimes, and it's really annoyingly long to write out long, big events in your life. But it's not even about writing out the events, because you already have a memory of the events. And whether or not your memory is quote-unquote accurate of exactly how it happened, that's not important, because perception is reality. Clearly, your perception of an event has affected you for your whole life, whether it's subtle or not. So that becomes real. That becomes reality. So writing out your perception of the event, or better yet, how you felt about the event, is the key, in my opinion, for myself, especially for getting past things and getting over things, for processing things that are too hard to say out loud or are too hard to formulate into words. The great thing about being able to write something down is you can write down all these potential ideas about how you feel about something. I feel like I might be resentful or angry or frustrated But you don't want to say those words out loud when you're talking to yourself, because also a lot of people don't talk to themselves. It makes you feel weird sitting around processing information by having a conversation with yourself. I do that too, but a lot of people don't like that as much. And it's almost as if you say something out loud, does it become real? You don't necessarily want a word to actually apply to that situation of your memory of it. If you feel like, oh, that's not the right word. But once you say it out loud, maybe you're worried, oh, does that make it what it is? I don't know. So writing it out is really nice because you never hear yourself say it out loud and you don't have to keep the paper. So you can always throw it away or burn it or whatever. That's another aspect of knowing your past that's really therapeutic, is once you actually flesh out all of the feelings that you have about something, you're able to now write out or think about the way you feel about the events now. There's a big difference between those two things. There's how you felt in the moment and how you feel now. So if something happened to you that was a fantastic first sexual experience and you're trying to kind of remember that as you go forward and reminding yourself that you have an empowered sexuality, you're able to ask for what you want, you're able to get what you want. If you have that sort of experience, you could write about how it felt to be in the situation at first, but then also now how it feels looking back at it. So in the moment, you feel grateful that you picked a partner that was a caring, good partner and was a trustworthy person. You feel satisfied sexually in the moment. You feel excited and, you know, kind of over the moon about this new sexual experience in this new sexuality in your life you're experiencing. But then you can also recognize that the way you felt about it then isn't necessarily the way you feel about it now, but it doesn't take away from the significance then. So perhaps the way you feel about it now is simply just grateful that that kind of experience happened to you and proud that you are a person who chose to be a part of a relationship that was so beneficial to you. And maybe you feel a little, you look back and you think, oh, those feelings were a little bit juvenile. When I think back now on that sexual interaction, it was kind of average, but in the moment it was special and important, and that has shaped the way you feel about sexuality. So you can't take away your feelings about an experience, whether they're positive or negative. You can't take away those feelings from the past, but you can learn to rewrite those feelings if you feel like it's important. So for example, a positive experience, you don't probably want to rewrite that script in your mind of how you feel about it now, but a negative one you might want to. So it's really important to recognize how you felt then, recognize how you feel now about that experience, and also recognize how you can start to change your way of thinking about it. And this kind of leads into another part of the knowledge piece, is knowing your patterns. So you know your past. Now you also have to think about knowing your patterns. And this has to do with not only the physical and emotional choices that you make in a sexual situation, but the way you talk to yourself about it afterwards, the internal dialogue that you have about it afterwards. So perhaps in the moment, you are quick to have sex with someone, at least in your opinion. When you look back on it, you think, I'm so quick to have sex with someone. Maybe I should wait to see if they're worth my time first. But in the moment, every time you get to that spot, your future self is saying, slow down. But your current self is saying, no, I want to do it now. So that could be something that you're experiencing, perhaps. Your future self really wishes that current self would slow it down a little bit. But looking back and being able to recognize what some of your patterns are also help you recognize why it is that you think about yourself a certain way. So if you always tend to look back on your sexual encounters with people that you love or either are just interested in sleeping with or having a one-night stand with or having a short relationship with, if you look back on those experiences, and in the moment they seemed right, but if in the present you look back and you think, man, all of those, I had sex too fast. What is that about? It's a logical connection for you to think, what does that mean about me? Which, that isn't any place you need to go, but I feel like almost everybody thinks that way. I think that way. You base, what does that mean about me, on things you've done? Which isn't always a part of it. I mean, they're related, but just because you've done something or you happen to have a pattern of the way you do things doesn't mean it means anything about you. And I talked about this in a past episode, how parents sometimes, when they're worried about their kids having sex or they think their kids started having sex too soon, they think, what does that mean about my kid? And it becomes a big guilt issue. It doesn't mean anything about your kid. They're just learning how to be sexual. So if every time you look back on these experiences, you have sort of a feeling in your stomach, like a gut reaction of kind of frustration with yourself or embarrassment, that's going to sink into you and you're going to have a disconnect between the past version of yourself that is excited to have sex in the moment and the current version where you feel some sort of regret or like maybe embarrassment or something about what you've done. And I'm not saying that you should or should not do any of, you know, the sexual things you want to do. I'm not, it's your decision. But being able to know your patterns about what you physically do and how you emotionally handle what you physically do or what's happened is important so that you can start to set yourself up to be a part of situations where your future self isn't going to look down on what you've done or belittle yourself or make yourself feel less than anything. And at the same time, you can also start to talk to yourself since you know what your experiences have been and you know kind of some of the stuff that really pushes your buttons. You can start to talk to yourself, have an internal dialogue or an external dialogue. Both could be good. About stopping thoughts about yourself that actually are not beneficial to you emotionally, spiritually, and sexually, because they're all related. So if you notice that you look back and you feel too bad about, oh, I had sex too soon with these people, oh, I wish I hadn't, and you realize that, hey, part of me thinking that is, I don't know, some prudish idea that I inherited from my grandmother or something, I don't know. You decide what floats you. You decide how you think. But if you look back and you think, that's not actually who I am, those thoughts, I just feel like it's maybe a societal pressure that's making me think that, you can start to change what you say to yourself. It's going to be hard. It's not easy. Changing a pattern is so hard. But you have to know the pattern before you change the pattern. And finding where the disconnect happens between feeling good about something and feeling bad about something, or not being comfortable with something and then being comfortable with something. Where you find where that disconnect happens, you're going to be able to go back in and say, I actually in my gut feel this way. I'm going to remember to talk to myself in that way. I'm going to have a dialogue with myself about how I make good decisions, or it's okay. It was right in the moment. I'm still a good person. I'm still sexually safe. I'm still sexually considerate. I'm not a whore, because I feel like that's one of the main words everybody throws around, which is so unfortunate. So that's really so important, knowing your patterns, so you can start to break patterns you want broken and reinforce patterns that you recognize are great and let some of them grow into even deeper patterns. And then really the overall thing about knowledge here, we talked about knowing your past, knowing your patterns. It all boils down to knowing yourself. And I've had multiple episodes where I've talked about this in varying degrees about knowing yourself. But a lot of this has to do with spending time with yourself, by yourself. Sometimes doing naked time by yourself is really valuable. That's one of the first episodes I ever did where I talked about being naked with yourself is actually a huge benefit, even if you feel like, oh, I'm going to be freaked out staring at myself naked at first. You don't have to dive in like that. Check out that episode and listen to what I'm talking about. But it forces you in a really great way to see yourself, and not just physically, because we understand the link between our physical and our emotional and our spiritual selves, and seeing our physical self in a form that is relaxed and is natural and is nobody watching. There's no spectators. It reminds you how connected all of those things are. And it sort of starts to open up the doors and reminds you the things that you want in yourself, in your life, in your sexual life. It reminds you the things that you don't want. It kind of brings you back to the middle. It centers you. It's like the way some people feel. You go out in nature and it makes you feel relaxed and centered. Or you go to the beach, it makes you feel relaxed and centered. Naked time with yourself, if not at first, will make you feel relaxed and centered. Because what greater center force in your universe is there than you? Honestly, you are the center of your universe, and not in a ridiculous, all-important way. In a way that everything you experience comes through you. I mean, duh, but we don't really think about it like that. So of course our focus should be on the channel through which we process information and feel things, through us, through our physicality, our emotionality, our spirituality, all of those things. And then like I mentioned in knowing your patterns, It has to do with knowing your beliefs about yourself. And a really great way to challenge those beliefs is to do some naked time. And it's to spend time with yourself. Because you can't hide behind other things. If you're by yourself, you can't hide from yourself. And I feel like a lot of people do that. I do that sometimes. I've had a day where I'm not feeling great about myself. I'll kind of distract myself. I'd rather watch TV than sit around thinking because I'm not feeling great about the decisions I made, or I'm not feeling productive, or I'm not feeling special enough or good enough or whatever. Everybody goes through days where that happens. But when you're by yourself, alone, quiet, introspective, perhaps in a place that makes you feel naturally introspective, in the bathtub, naked by yourself, outside, going for a walk, petting your dog, it's a great time to face the things about yourself that you don't really want to face, but that might be obstacles that are going to allow you to actually get a better grip on your past and how you feel about it, get a better grip on the kind of future you want, and remind yourself exactly who you're dealing with. You're dealing with you, and there's a lot of amazing things that come out of you. Pretty much everything that comes out of you is amazing. Even the poop that comes out of you is pretty much amazing because it means your body's working correctly. So this entire episode is really, it's part one of the big finale of fighting for your best sexual self. All the things I mentioned today, the tool of knowledge, the weapon of knowledge, it is about fighting for your best sexual self. Because as should be obvious through all the other episodes I've done, the major theme about your best sexual self is that it comes from you. You experience sexuality with other people, but your sexuality and your joy and your excitement and your positivity about it really only can come from inside of you. Someone else can't give that to you. Someone else can help ignite that in you. They can help you find it, but it can't come from outside of you. It comes from inside of you. And knowledge is the best way to start to get there so that your best sexual self is on the horizon and you see it and you see her welcoming you and you want to just run over and say, you're you. That's me. It's the best. It's my best sexual self. I'm here. I'm ready. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. As always, I love talking with you guys. Just a quick reminder, you check out the website, you go to episode archives, you can check out all the past episodes of Your Sexual History and then all the other episodes, 70 plus episodes that you might have missed, including the one on naked time, the one on all, you know, all the other ones that I mentioned briefly today or indirectly. And please go to Facebook, check out O Woman Podcast on Facebook, check out O Woman Podcast on iTunes, subscribe, like the episodes. That would be really helpful and awesome to my cause, which is sharing information and having a great time discussing in a community of women, or of anyone willing to listen, what's up with women's sexuality and lives and thoughts and bodies and realities. So thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.